Not there. Okay, good evening. What we were talking about with the children, the parting of the Red Sea, something that the Israelites never have forgotten. It's etched in the history of Israel. They were slaves, they were suffering. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord speaking to Moses says this, "I indeed have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering." So this is sort of obviously before we got to the Red Sea bit. But as they were there in Egypt, being slaves, being made to produce all these buildings, God was very much aware. God wanted to change what was happening. But even more than that, God was able to change what was happening. God saw them in the difficulties, and what he did is commission Moses to go and lead them out. Now, God does not erase all sufferings and difficulties that we ever experience. Just got a little PowerPoint to show you. Just have a quick look at this. Okay, that's the suspension unit off a car. And that's a leaf spring. And the way it works is that as the car goes along and it hits a bump, then it pushes up and that spring deflects. So the wheel goes up, but the car itself doesn't feel it as much. That's the theory. I suppose, you know, if you drove around a lot of our roads, you still feel an awful lot of bumps. But I'll tell you something. You try riding round those roads on a bicycle without suspension, and you'll appreciate just how smooth the car actually makes it. Because the suspension unit takes a lot of the bumps out of it, so maybe you just feel a bit of a sway from side to side, rather than what you would feel on a bicycle, which is a hard thump as you hit it. And there's no doubt that we would like life to be like our car, so that we don't feel the discomfort, so we don't have the difficulties, so we don't experience the uncomfortable bits of suffering. We'd like God to be like our suspension unit and smooth it out for us. But God isn't a suspension unit. God knows what it is to suffer. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, speaking about Jesus, it says this. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. So God doesn't stop all suffering and difficulty, but God does stop needless suffering and difficulty. God works so that as we suffer, there is a purpose and it's part of his plan and he can redeem it and use it. When Jesus was there for us, as Stephen's just been saying, he took our pain and he delivered us. And looking back into Egypt, God looked, he saw the pain of the Israelites, and the time came, the time was right for him to come and deliver them. So he sent Moses out to do exactly that. And through the miraculous things that God did through Moses, the Israelites came out of Egypt. And boy, were they happy? They certainly were. It says that not only did they come out, but on their way out, they asked their Egyptian neighbours for provisions. And the Egyptians just wanted to get rid of them, and they just gave them everything. It says in effect, well, the Israelites plundered Egypt. They came out with so much. This was a fantastic deliverance. They came out, at last they were free. No more slave drivers. Now they could do just what they wanted. Moses was leading them. and out they went. We saw in that picture, first of all, at the start with the children, yeah? Moses was there leading them, and out they went. But are you ever in the situation where you think, yeah, this is great, until something else goes wrong? Because you see, there's always a new problem. There's always a new difficulty. There's always something to wipe the smile off your face. The Israelites came out led by Moses, but then they realized that Pharaoh was chasing after them. They realized that the one who'd said they could go had changed his mind, and he sent the army after them. It says that Pharaoh got 600 choice, select, sort of top quality chariots. You know, these weren't ordinary chariots, these were M&S chariots. They were the top of the line ones, and all the others. So he came out with a load. Now, when it talks about these sort of top-notch chariots, what it means is they were big war chariots. Used to carry several people. They weren't coming to be friendly. They were coming back as an army to conquer this slave nation that had left them. And rightly, the Israelites looked and they were terrified. So suddenly the euphoria that they felt melted away into fear, because they saw who was chasing after them. God had got them out, but what on earth could God do now? They actually turned to Moses and said things like, why have you done this to us? You know, forgetting that they just had a wonderful liberation and they were enjoying themselves. What have you done to us? We were happier back in Egypt? I don't think so. But you know, sometimes our circumstances can totally distort how we see things. They were a slave nation. They were heavenly loaded in the jobs that they had to do. But suddenly, being faced with an army, that where they were seemed much better. So in their eyes, God was God of that, but God isn't God of this. But the thing is, you might have a new problem, you might have a new difficulty, but you've got the same God. And the God who liberated is the God who is unchanging, and the God who can meet every need. The Israelites discovered that God who liberated could also be the God who caused the Red Sea to divide and take them into new liberty. Are we like them? Are we like the Israelites? When perhaps something happens, God steps in, sorts it out, it's wonderful. Until, as it says in Pilgrim's Progress, we hit the slough of despond. Yeah? Because it's all gone wrong. There's another problem, another difficulty, something else to knock us off that euphoric high and take us right down to the low. But just like with the Israelites, it might be a new problem, it might be a different kind of problem, but it's still the same God. And the God who delivered is the God who will deliver. The God who delivered in the past is the God who can deliver in the future. The Israelites were desperate. They didn't know where to turn. There was the Red Sea in front of them and there was Pharaoh behind them. They got nowhere to go. And we can feel like that. We can feel like we've got nowhere to go. We've been pounded with the bad news, with the difficulties, with circumstances that seem to conspire against us, with things that would seem to drag us down. As I say, the slough of despond. Everything looks black. Everything looks bleak. But God is a delivering God. We might have a wonderful deliverance. He might have done great things in the past, but is he up to the new task? Is he up to the new problem? Is he able to cope with this new difficulty? And the answer is yes, because he's still the same God. New problem, same God, same result. We can be delivered. We need to be sure and very, very careful that we don't revert to type, where we simply turn around and, oh, weighed down, difficulties, problems. Our minds can play tricks with us. All we focus on is the bad. All the Israelites saw was Pharaoh and his horde coming towards them. There was only Moses who turned to God and said, what are we going to do here? And in times of difficulty, in times of distress, we need to be turning to God and saying, you've worked in the past, we need you to work in the future. We need to have a good memory. You know, there's an old song, it's even been updated, talks about counting our blessings. Because as we remember what God has done, as we remember how God's undertaken, how God's stepped in, how God has answered prayer, it's a fuel for faith. Because what we do is we see what God can do, and as a result, we'll see what God will do. Our joy can be short-lived if all we're depending on, if all we're looking at, is what's happening around us. But Jesus said he came to give us joy, his joy, and nobody could take that joy ever away from us, because that's an enduring joy, a joy that lasts. It can give us peace, peace that endures at all times, because we remember what God has done, and we can say that God can do the same thing again. New problem, same God. The talk about goldfish having short memories. Well, we had some goldfish, and I tell you, they had got very good memories. They knew exactly when it was feeding time. They could always remember. But we can have very short remembering power, and we fail to remember what God has done for us and how he's acted in the past, how he stepped in. We just let it go. So instead of being fuel for faith, it just ekes away, and there's nothing there. We need to remember what God has done. The psalmist says this in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Why do we count blessings? Because it's reminding us what God has done in the past. And it fixes our eyes on the Saviour rather than on the issue that is seeking to drag us down. Let's fuel our faith with a faith-filled memory, remembering what God has done in the past. We count our blessings because it tells us what God has done for us. Hard times, difficulties, new issues, new problems. But God is unchanging. New problems, same God. Remember, we will always have new difficulties, new problems, but also remember, we will always have the same delivering God. Amen.